Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us and we thank you for the privilege to be here this day. Lord, we know that you're going to meet with us because that's a promise from you. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be willing to hear what we need to hear and then, Lord, to do what we need to do. I pray that you be with these that have special requests this morning. We do pray for Paul's. He has shoulder surgery this morning. We pray, Lord, for I know more than one here that's looking for jobs, but especially this one this morning. I pray that you would have your will and way, and that you would make this not just a possibility, but Lord, you'd allow it to happen if that would be your will. I pray, Lord, that you would be with David Chambers. I ask you to take care of him and help him, Lord, to recover from this very serious accident. And then we pray for Charlene Hicks, help her with the pain that she's having. I pray for Willie today, ask you to take care of him and keep him safe. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that it would ever be a lighthouse. And until you come again, I pray, God, that souls would continue to be saved and this church would just always be true to you. We want to thank you for always being true and faithful to us. I pray that you'll bless the class now and help me as I stand to teach. Lord, I pray that somehow you would use me, Lord, in spite of me. And I pray that your word would speak to our hearts and lives. And we'll give you the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. All right. Brother Gary asked me a long time ago if I'd be willing to teach today. And I told him yes, no doubt. What a great opportunity. And the closer it came to being time to teach, and then I'm not here a whole lot. The Lord's blessed me. I'm able to be preaching a lot of different places, and I'm thankful for that. God's called me to preach, and so I know that's what he wants me to be doing. But we've been able to be here the last few Sundays, and every time I come in here, I just realize how good of a teacher Brother Gary is. And last week I was sitting here listening to him teach, and we went out to the car out of the class towards the sanctuary, and I think I said to Joe just last week or the week before, I said, he's just the best teacher I've ever heard. And then I started thinking, I've got to teach next week. So I hope you've drunk plenty of coffee and you can stay awake at least this morning. That'd be a real blessing. If you don't, you say, I don't drink coffee, well, today might be the day you want to drink coffee, all right? Now, Brother Gary is a great teacher. I'm thankful for him and for all the years he's been here at this church. There's no doubt when I was pastoring in the area and he was here, he's just been so consistent. Thankful for that. But what a great class he has, and it's great to be able to stand before you and teach. And I want to teach this morning out of the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, Brother Gary said last week he'll teach, preach, whatever it is, and I always say I'm going to teach something, and I end up preaching something, so you'll just have to bear with me. I'll try to keep it right. So, have I forgotten anything that we normally do before we get on? Announcements are in the bulletin, so be sure and look at that. I know there are some things coming up very soon, and some things you need to realize. If there's something else, you'll just have to forgive me. Philippians chapter number 2. And I want us to look here beginning in verse number 5. We're going to read verse 5, but we're going to go all the way down through verse 16 in this passage of Scripture. And the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I want you to think about that. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying so many wonderful things to these folks. But here he says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." We think about that. We think, well, that's a difficult thing to do. But now Christ lives in us, in the person of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. And what I want us to think about this morning, if I were to title my lesson, it would be, "Let this mind be in you." But really, it's having the mind of Christ. That's how we're going to make it in this world, and that's how we're going to make a difference in this world, is having the mind of Christ. Looking through at things the way that He looks at things. And I believe the Lord desires for all of us that are saved to serve Him. Wouldn't you agree with that? Don't you think He won't? If you're saved, you're saved to serve, right? We're not saved to just see it. We're saved to serve. And He wants us to be doing what it is He has for our lives. As a matter of fact, you cannot be happy in the Lord if you're not obeying Him. And so he wants us to serve. And the greatest way to do that is to have the mind of Christ, to think the way that he would think, to look at things the way that he would look at things. And Christ is the greatest servant the world's ever known. And we think about that, Christ, a servant. He's a Savior, yes, but he is a servant. He was the servant. And as we think about us being saved to serve, we need to look at several things. And I want to go through this passage. And, you know, I always get nervous about having enough time. And then sometimes I'll end before time. And we'll just get done when we're done, okay? Y'all can shout, say amen, wave your hanky, do whatever. But we'll have a good time together, all right? Thinking about the mind of Christ. I want you to think about, first of all, his example. The example that he set. Look at what the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 6 and 7. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Well, our greatest example in serving the Lord is the Lord. When we think about what the Bible says, we see what the Lord Jesus did. He was in the form of God. He was God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. The God of the universe, the creator of the world, humbled himself. We talk about the humiliation of the cross, the humbling of the cross, but before the humbling of the cross was the humbling of the manger. And Christ came into this world as a babe. Think about it. He lowered himself from the very portals of glory, and took upon him the form of a man. He was God. He was man. 100% God, 100% man. But he didn't come as a king in royal garments. He came as a babe in a manger. He's God. He could have come and set up a kingdom at that time. He could have come and ruled the world instantly. But the world needed something more than a king. It needed a redeemer. It needed a savior. Christ had to come and become like us in order that we could become like him. And we think about that. We think what a precious thing that is. And he is our greatest example. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. I'll read this to you. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep, as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. When we think about what the Bible teaches us here, the Bible says that Christ was our example. He left us an example that we should follow his steps. He did not sin, so we're to do our best to not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. The Bible says, neither was guile found in his mouth. And you know what guile is? Guile is like stretching the truth. You know, it's, let's say you're late for something, and the truth of the matter is you just started late. But boy, you was never so thankful when that train was on the track, and, you know, it was really just going by when you got there and you was able to go over almost instantly. But when you get to that place and you know that it looks bad being late, you say, well, you know, there was a train in the way and it kind of slowed me down just a little bit. And that's guile. And the Bible says there was no guile in his mouth. You know, everything he said was true. He didn't mince words. He didn't try to manipulate words. He just said what was right and what was true. There was no guile in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's hard, isn't it? Well, when somebody comes at me, you know what I want to do? I want to go right back at them. I don't know if y'all are like me, but I can be there. I'm pretty easy going, but there's a certain point when I get there that I'm always afraid I'm going to say more than I ought to say. But the Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. The Bible says when he suffered, he threatened not. The Bible says, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I think about all these things and the example that he is for us. And we think about what the Bible is saying here in chapter number 2 of the book of Philippians. We see him as our example. And Peter, I think, just gives us a greater understanding. To be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we'll not be perfect in this flesh. We know that we'll not be perfect as long as we're here in this sinful world. But our goal ought to be to have the mind of Christ. And to live a life that would please the Lord Jesus Christ. And to follow his example. And the Bible says he left us that example. And so when we think about that, we realize the responsibility of the servant is found right here. And that responsibility is obedience. And Christ was the greatest, gave us the greatest example of obedience. If you have your Bibles, if you mark in your Bibles, this is something that I've done. I want you to see something here. In verse number 7, the Bible has the word servant, took upon him the form of a servant. Now, I've circled that word, and then I want you to go down in verse number 8, and it says, he became obedient unto death. And I circled the word obedient, the word servant, and the word obedient, and I drew a line with an arrow between one and the other. See, this is the responsibility of the servant, and that's to obey the master. And Christ left us the example of being an obedient servant. There's never been a life more obedient than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about it, he robed himself in flesh. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man, but he never ceased to be God. When I think about all that the Lord did for me and his obedience to the Father, I realize that there's nobody loves me like he loves me. And when I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do with my life, and I'm following his example, other people's going to know that I love them and that I care for them. I work as a mechanic at Eastman in maintenance, and we have a crew, it's all guys, and there's about 20 of us. And, you know, in a setting like that, it can be rough at times. But there's not one of them guys that would not tell you that I don't care for them. They would tell you that I do care for them. I've spoken to them and I've talked to them and I let them know I pray for you. I pray for you often. Now, is that a great thing? I'm not trying to lift up myself. I'm just saying God has put me there for a purpose. And in letting them know that I pray for them, it helps me to realize that I have to live a life differently. It gives accountability. Because if I'm praying for them, I can't live a life that would go against what I'm saying. And so Christ did everything right. I'm not Christ. And I have a problem with my flesh. I don't know if y'all have the same problems that I do, but this flesh gets in my way a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes it just wears me out. This mind gets in my way a lot. I don't think the way I ought to think. My reactions, a lot of times, are worse than my actions. You know, it's not my actions a lot of times that gets me in trouble. It's my reactions. It's what this old flesh does. But Christ left us an example. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He bare our sins in his body on the tree. He did everything for us. What an example he is. He became flesh. He became man. He made himself of no reputation. You see, he made himself. That's a good word, isn't it? He made himself of no reputation. He was God. He knew he was God. But he had to make himself of no reputation. He had to do that willingly. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. But he was always God. Now, why did that have to be? Well, I believe the Bible teaches us that the only way for God's plan of salvation to be fulfilled was there had to be a perfect sacrifice. But it couldn't be the sacrifice of an animal. It had to be somebody like me, somebody like you. It had to be a human. It had to be man. Man had to die for man. Well, the God-man died so that you and I could live. God gave His Son to the whole world, and the Son obeyed. Remember, what is the main goal of a servant? Obedience. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 29, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He says, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." And this is what He said. Jesus said, "For I do always those things that please Him." That's an amazing thing, isn't it? So as a servant of the Lord, what should we do? We should do the things that please the Lord. We should obey Him. There's two kinds of people in the world. They're saved and lost. But there's two kinds of saved people in the world. There's obedient and disobedient. That's all. There's no in between. You're either doing with your life God's will or you're not doing with your life God's will. We're doing with our life God's will or we're not doing with life God's will. The example that Christ left was to do always those things that pleased the Lord. And our goal ought to be today to follow His example. And His example is this: do always those things that please Him. Now, we're going to make our mistakes and mess up, yes. I'm not talking about sinless. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm just saying our desire ought to be today to please the Lord with our life and to follow the example that the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mind of Christ. That's having the mind of Christ. It's when we're thinking about things, we're thinking, what pleases the Lord in this area? What would God have me to do right here? What would the Lord have me to say? Where would the Lord have me to go? What is it that God has for me? And as He moves in my life, am I willing to follow that and to be obedient to Him? God don't always lead us down the easy path. Sometimes there's bumps in the road, but here's what I know. God has a purpose in every bump in the road. He has a purpose in every valley in our life. There's not one thing that happens to us without God's knowledge. There's not one thing that happens to us that's without God's purpose. Sometimes it could be that He allows some difficult things to happen to us to get our attention. Sometimes it's just to help us to learn to lean on Him. And sometimes we may not even understand why. But if we'll trust Him through the valleys, I can promise you He's there with us. The example is to be obedient. Then I want you to see the next thing, the extent of this. The extent of the mind of Christ. The example, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, was to be obedient. And the extent of that obedience is really an amazing thing. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We talked about the obedience, but I want you to see the extent of this obedience. The extent of the servitude of the Lord. And the extent was total obedience to His Father. When we think about all that the Lord has done for us, I think we ought to have a desire to do all that we can for Him. The extent of the service of the Lord Jesus Christ was He was obedient unto death. Well, I tell you what, He went all the way, didn't He? He did it all. You know, there's that song, I'm sure you've heard, "He did it all for me. Each drop of blood He shed for even me." When the Savior cried, bowed His head and died, He did it all for me. He went all the way in obedience for the Lord. He didn't leave one stone unturned. He didn't leave one thing unsettled. As a matter of fact, He did everything that needed to be done in order for you and I and every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world to be able to be redeemed back to God. There's nothing left that needs to be done other than putting our faith by grace in Jesus Christ. Everything else that has been covered. The Bible says He was obedient unto death. But I like what it says. Even the death of the cross. One of the most horrible and terrible deaths a person could die. We don't want to go into all the details of it, but we know that really they don't die from bleeding out. They die more from suffocation. They have the spike through the feet and the nails through the hand, and their body is bruised and battered, and literally the Bible teaches us that His face was unrecognizable as a human being. As he was hanging on the cross with his insides hanging on the outside in public shame, in open shame, he was there with his hands on the cross and his feet was there. And as he would go down, it would close up any oxygen that he would have. And then he would have to push up on that one spike with those feet with nothing to hold other than that nail and push up to try to get a breath. Now, can you imagine even the death of the cross? How far did Christ go for us? The extent of his obedience. And sometimes I fight just the little things. Sometimes God wants me to do the simplest things, and I'm like, well, you know, I really don't have time. It's amazing what kind of excuse we can come up with, isn't it? Oh, the judgment day's coming. And I won't be judged for my sins. They were judged on the cross of Calvary. But what I've done with the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'll stand before the Lord with. My sins affects my life. And it affects what I do. Do you realize I cannot do for Christ what I ought to do if I have sin in my life? So while our sins are not judged, our sins keep us from doing the will of God. You see what I'm saying? And this is all that he did for us, even the death of the cross. The extent, he went all the way. The Bible teaches us so many things about this. You remember what it said there in John chapter 8, verse 29? It says, I do always those things that please him. And I think one of the most moving verses in the Bible is found in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 52 talks about the Lord Jesus and his visage being so marred that you couldn't recognize him. Isaiah 53 is that beautiful psalm where it talks about how he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By stripes we were healed. But verse 10 says this, for it hath pleased the Lord to bruise him. God was pleased for his son to die. Why? Do you think it made him happy that his son had to go through such terrible and horrible and awful things on the cross of Calvary? No. But God knew there was one way of redemption, and the only way was for God to robe himself in flesh, become man, and take our place. Die our death and suffer our hell and fight our grave and rise up victorious on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and given the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how far Christ went for us. The extent of the mind of Christ was total obedience to do everything that needed to be done. Now all he asked us to do is just do his will with our life. I heard somebody say, you know, the greatest thing we can say is not, I'm going to do God's will with my life, but I'm going to give my life to doing God's will. I don't know what the difference is, but it makes sense to me, I guess, when I say it. Give my life to doing God's will, because we don't exactly know what it is, but we just need to do it. Whatever God wants us to do, we need to do that. Pastor Sexton was here last Sunday night. He always says this. He says, we serve the Lord because of, not in order to. We don't serve the Lord in order to be saved. We serve the Lord because we're saved. We serve the Lord because of what he has done. We serve the Lord because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he did that for me and he did that for you. And the extent that he went, we ought to serve God because of all that he's done for us, because of his love and his grace and his mercy. I have, my parents are still living. I'm grateful for that. And, you know, there was a time in my life where, you know, you don't want your parents to be upset with you. But there came a point in my life where I wanted them to be pleased with me. And it began to change. My life began to change because I wanted to do the things that pleased them. And when I did the things that pleased them, boy, there was just like great harmony, you know? Life is so much better. Yeah, when I was a kid, I'd put things off. I don't know if y'all ever did that. I put things off. I always tell a story. My mom was going out. My dad was a truck driver for a lot of my early years, and he was away a lot. My mom, she told me one time, son, I want you to clean up your room. Now, I'd clean it up about once every quarter, once every 3 months. My wife says, you still do that, but anyway. And when I don't, she usually does, so hey. By the way, today is our 23rd anniversary. My wife and I, we have been blessed 23 years, and I'm thankful to have my wife. God's been good. Anyway, when I was a child, my mom said, I want you to clean your room. And she had to go to Hills. Y'all remember Hills? Down there, it's no longer the whole thing's been knocked down. Hills. I love going to Hills. Popcorn, you know? You walk in, smell that popcorn, and get a little bag of popcorn, and I think it's 25 cents, something like that. But anyway, she was going to Hills. She said, I'm going to be back a couple hours. It's Saturday morning. I want you to clean your room. I said, okay, I'll clean my room. And she said, if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. I said, I understand. This is before I really, you know, didn't have my mind. I want to please my parents all the time, but I knew I was going to clean my room. I was going to get in trouble because, you know, I got whoopings when I didn't do right. Kids don't understand that today, but I got that. My kids understand it, but a lot of kids don't. Don't call law on me, please. Anyway, it was Saturday morning. Well, when I was a kid, you know what Saturday morning was? Cartoons. Bugs Bunny. Right. You know, I love Foghorn Leghorn. Boy, I like that. You know, I love that. And I said, I'm going to watch cartoons for just a little while, and then I'll get my room clean. And I was sitting in there watching cartoons. It had only been a few minutes, I thought. Our car was a Pontiac, and it had a distinctive sound when you hit the brakes pulling into the garage. And I was sitting there, and on the other side of the garage was our den, and that's where the TV was, and I was watching cartoons, and I heard, she has returned. And I've not been to my room yet. I'm reminded, the Lord said, I'm coming back. And one day the trumpet will sound. And all the things we said we'll do, as far as I said, Lord, I'll go all the way for you. I'll do everything you'd have me to do. I'll do it all. I will go. I will do. I will be. But one of these days the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be sitting there watching cartoons, twiddling our thumbs, doing with our life our will. When the greatest thing we can do is God's will. The extent is we ought to be willing to do exactly what He'd have us do all the way. All the way. God's called me to preach. I want to preach. He's called me to pastor. I want to pastor. I want it to be where He wants me to be and when He wants it to be. I'm ready. But it has to be of Him. There's a lot of things that we know are simply His will. The Bible teaches us in James chapter 1, verse number 18. I'll read this to you when we talk about doing His will. James chapter number 1, verse number 18. This is a great verse. It says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. When I read that, I thought, you know, exactly what's it mean, first fruit of His creatures? You know, we see that word quite a bit. And I'm reminded that He's writing to the Jews. This is a Jewish epistle. And as He writes to the Jews, He's saying a kind of first fruits. And in doing so, they this would be something that they would understand. If you'll remember Proverbs, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So the Jews were to bring as an offering to the Lord the first fruit, the very best. And He's saying that as Christians, we're the very best of His creation. We ought to be willing to do with our life what He wants us to do and prove to this world that we're the very best of God's creation. I believe we can make a difference in this world even today if we'll go to the extent that He would have us to go and do what it is He would have us to do. Doing His will is doing exactly what He wants us to do, when He wants us to do. You know, being obedient is not just doing it, it's doing it at the right time. If you have kids and you say something to your children, you've taught school, now you're, I forget what it is, that fancy title that you gave a few weeks ago. What is it that you do? Director of Performance Excellence. I like that. I'd like to be a Director of Performance Excellence, but they know me better than that. But anyway, when you have kids in school or whatever, and you say, this is what I want you to do. You do this as a parent, as a teacher, or whatever. Obedience is not them doing it 20 minutes later. Obedience is them doing it right then. Doing it when we're supposed to. A lot of times, you know, I think, well, Lord, I've done what you want me to, but then it's like I always put other things before. Obedience is obeying the Lord at the right time. So we need to do that. And by the way, activity does not take the place of spirituality. So we have to realize that it's not just being busy, it's being in the will of God. Sometimes we'll be busy, 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 but are we doing what God wants us to do? And that's the most important thing. What's God want me to do with my life? Do that. We can be involved in everything coming and going, being a volunteer for every organization in the world, being, you know, just being a great citizen as far as the eyes of the world are concerned, but is it what God wants us to do? And that's the most important thing. That's what obedience is to the Lord, is being what God wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do. And sometimes we try to busy ourselves so it looks like we're doing these things, but busy does not always mean that we're being obedient servants. And when the Father speaks to us, our answer should already be yes, before He even asks us, yes. Then I want you to see the exaltation. We're just about to get done. What time we get out? 15 till? 10 minutes? What time? 12 till. Okay. 12 till. I never look at my watch when we're in here, so I really don't know. Brother Gary, it seems like it goes by so quick. You know? It really does. It seemed like an eternity this morning for you, I know, but that's all right. The exaltation. We see all these things. Now, remember, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then we see His example. We see the extent. Then we see what happens, the exaltation. Look at that in verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus... Oh, what a verse. Every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what happens. When we follow the Lord's example and we fully obey Him, it will bring glory and honor to the Lord. Our world today, I believe, is in desperate need of some believers like this, that would follow the example of Christ and go to the extent that we'll do exactly what God wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, and as far as He wants us to go. We'll just go all the way and all out for God. And when that happens, it honors the Lord. People need to see Christ lifted up and Christ honored. The people that we work with need to see something in us that's different than other people. They need to hear a different kind of language and see a different kind of demeanor, not an arrogant demeanor, but a demeanor of humility and a demeanor of love and a demeanor of a changed life. A lot of Christians I know, they give off an aura that, you know, I'm better. No, you're a sinner, saved by the grace of God. We're no better than anybody. We've just had the blessing of having Christ come into our life. We're better in that sense because we know where we're going to be when we leave this world. But we're not better than they are because they can have the same thing that we have. Somebody that's better than me, I can't have what they have. But see, everybody can have this. That doesn't make me better. It just makes me saved. And I see when I do what God wants me to do, it helps Him to be glorified. And by the way, when we do that, guess what happens? When we humble ourselves, God will lift us up in due time. He'll bless us. It's not about us being lifted up. It's just having the blessings of God. We all want the Lord to bless our lives and to take care of us. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Just like He honored the Savior, He honors our obedience. He honors our willingness to say yes. And our example, once again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord exalted him. The Lord lifted him up. And the Lord will bless us. The Lord will strengthen us. Think of what we're doing with your life. I want you to look at your life right now. Think about, what do I do with my days? What am I doing? What? Can I ask you a question? I don't raise a hand or anything like that, but do you know what God wants you to do? There are the simple things. God wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants you to be faithful in church, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. God wants us to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, He that winneth souls is wise. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them, name the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. When the power of the Holy Ghost should come upon you, you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. As He hath sent me, even so send I you. He wants us to witness to others. That's God's will. If you're saved, that is God's will. So we can all say, we know this is God's will. It's God's will for us to be saved. It's God's will for us to be a part of a local church. It's God's will for us to be a faithful servant and being a witness. But then God has wills for us. God has a purpose for our life. Maybe He wants you to be in the choir, to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to be what? What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do in your workplace, in your family? What's God want you to do? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Are we doing it? See, if we want the blessings of the Lord, we have to be obedient in these things. The example was, I do always those things that please Him. The extent was, I do it all the way. And here, the experience that we can have is when we do the things that please the Lord and we go all out at it, we do it to the best of our ability. The experience that we'll have, or excuse me, the exaltation that we'll have is that the Lord Jesus Christ is honored with our life. And then God also blesses us. And in due time, He will exalt us. But then there's an experience that goes along with that. All these things, it just works together. Notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, and I like that word wherefore, and I say this all the time when I'm preaching or teaching or whatever. When you see the word wherefore or therefore in the Bible, I always go to what precedes it and you'll see what it is there for. Because of all this, because of what Christ has done, because of who He is and because of what He has done, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So once again, our responsibility is to obey. And if we have the mind of Christ, this is something that we're going to do. And then the Bible says as we do this, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that does not mean that we're saved by works. That's not what that's talking about. We cannot work for our salvation, but we're to work at it. You know, we're not saved by works, but a saved person works. And when we think about this, we realize that we are to do it, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because there are enemies of this work in the world. Guess what? When you tell somebody you're saved and you belong to the Lord, the world's not going to say, wow, that's awesome, that's great, that's a good person, I'm for you. As a matter of fact, in this very nation that we live, what are we seeing happen? Every religion is tolerated. But watching Christianity be, in some senses, persecuted. You can read a Quran in places that you can't read a Bible now. They're more worried about offending a Muslim than they are a Christian. You see what's happening? You see all this going on? So that's why we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we're to work at it. We're saved. We're not saved by our works, But now that we are saved, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We live our life with fear and trembling, understanding that yes, there's going to be some obstacles in the way. There's going to be some difficulties. And by the way, there's been a lot of people die for their faith, a lot of martyrs over the years. And it may get to the point where we actually see that happen in this great country of ours. We don't know that. I hope and pray that it doesn't. But are willing to die for it? Work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So when we do our part, God works in us and through us. So here's the thing. When we're doing our part, guess what? God's right there and He's doing His part. We work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. And then God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And by the way, that word will means to desire here. To desire and to do of His good pleasure. He'll put in us the desire. He works in us the will to do, to desire and to do. And as we obey the Lord and working out our salvation, He puts the desire that we need in our lives to live for Him, to help others to see Him. And in verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, "We're to do things without murmuring, disputing, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Wow. When we desire to do these things, we'll do it without fussing about it. No murmuring, no complaining. Obedient believers will stand out from the crowd and the lights will shine. In this world, there's unbelievers and carnal Christians that needs to see the light of Christ. And the Bible says, we'll shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Don't you think the greatest thing that we could do as Christians today in what I still believe is the greatest country in all the world is to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? And then look what the Bible says. Holding forth the word of life. Paul says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The word of life will be our guide as we do what God wants us to do. We have the mind of Christ. And there's been a lot of people invest in me and in you. And dear friends, when it comes time for our eternity, people that have invested in me and the people that have invested in you, we want them to see that they've not run in vain. They didn't invest in us in vain. But every effort they put to us, maybe it was a parent, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a school teacher, somebody has invested in your life for the glory of God. Paul says, do these things so that I'll know I'm not running in vain. Truthfully, I guess as a confession, I'd say, there's so many things I could have done so much better. A lot of people have invested in me. And there's things that I wish, not only for the Lord's sake, but for their sake, that I would have done better. But my life's not over. If the Lord calls me home today, He calls me home. But if He doesn't, I have a life yet to live in days to come. And what I do with it is up to me. But if I'll have the mind of Christ, follow His example, go to the extent that He was willing to go all the way, just do exactly what God wants me to do, God will exalt when I need to be exalted, but God will glorify the Lord. And then the experience that I'll gain out of it will just help me to be better at what God wants me to be. God bless you. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless the service now. We give it to Thee in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, y'all.